One of the biggest problems of trying to record a radio program when you're traveling is sometimes you're a few days late on some of the big stories, like right now.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Well, a lot of things have happened this past week. And really, if you go back to this past Sunday here in the United States, it was no surprise to me what occurred on Sunday afternoon with Joe Biden deciding not to run for the presidency of the United States. Now, I may be a few days off, so maybe something else has happened since that announcement. But it only goes to show the instincts that many people had, myself included, back at the end of 2023 and going into 2024. I shared with you an audio clip that goes back to March of 1968. Back in 1968, Lyndon Johnson was facing re-election. He had taken over the presidency following the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Another story for another day. I really believe that was a totally inside job. I am not ashamed to say that. I'm like many other Americans. I do not believe it was a lone gunman by the name of Lee Harvey Oswald. I really don't. I believe there's a lot more to it. I think that he was the patsy and he was silenced because dead men don't talk. And we're still waiting for all the documentation of what happened in November of 1963. So Johnson becomes president, gets reelected in 1964, and then begins to escalate the Vietnam War, which was highly unpopular with the American people. 1968, there is turmoil in the streets. There is protest about the war. There is increased poverty. His programs of, well, the Great Society are failing before everybody's eyes. Taxes are going up. Businesses are stagnant, except for the military-industrial complex. And people are simply not happy. And so Johnson, reading the tea leaves, as they would say, looked ahead and realized he didn't stand a snowball's chance on a waffle iron of winning in November if things stayed the way they were. 1964, 60 years ago, things were a little bit different. You had three television networks primarily and radio networks and newspapers. There was no internet, no instant communication, no social media. It was a different world in terms of getting the word out. And a lot of people were just caught in their day-to-day lives, and there's only so much propaganda that could be put into a 30-minute newscast every night on NBC, ABC, or CBS, and they were not quite as much in the tank as they are today politically. And so Johnson decided, rather than be embarrassed, he made the decision in March of 1968 not to seek the nomination of his party, giving them time to deal with it in the primary system of the day. And he was making statements like, if I'm nominated, I will not run, and this and that, and I will not serve. Made it pretty clear, I'm not going to be on the ballot in the fall. And he made the claim that what I will do instead is to finish the job that I started here with the Great Society, the job that I started in the war on poverty and everything else that he claimed to be doing, which was all failures, every one of them, failures. And so he bowed out gracefully. Ironically, had he won a second term, he probably would have died before the end of his second term, probably in 1972, or he actually did die in early 1973. So He realized that his days were numbered, his health wasn't good, and his numbers were terrible. And I'm sure there were a lot of people in the Democrat Party of the day saying, hey, we got to do something. And he gracefully bowed out. Then came their convention in Chicago. And what a riot, literally, it became. Hubert Humphrey was the winner, and the Democrats overall were the losers. If you go back in history even farther, go back to 1952. Harry Truman had gotten the United States into Korea, and people who had just come through World War II were not having it. It was very unpopular. And so the handwriting was on the wall for Harry Truman, who everybody loved in 1948, everybody loved in 1945 when he took over after the death of FDR. His popularity went out the window. And they tried to substitute a different candidate at the last minute. It didn't work. And Eisenhower became the victor, not wanting to get us into wars and wanting to get us out of them. And Eisenhower enjoyed two terms. But Eisenhower, the smart guy that he was, reminded the American people and the world, this is not just the United States, the world. In his closing speech to the American people before leaving office, he made the statement, "Beware the military-industrial complex." And he explained that the world had changed because of World War II in a radical and dramatic way. He said, there was a time in the United States that if something happened and we had to go to war, we stopped making plows and we started making weapons. But he said, the world is different. We don't have that kind of time or luxury anymore. And so now we have to be prepared for immediate war on a moment's notice. And thus, this great machine built on debt during the Second World War to produce aircraft carriers, airplanes, tanks, bullets, guns, uniforms, Lucky Strike cigarettes in green tin containers, that was all built up for the war effort. Suddenly, the war's over, and these companies are like, now what do we do? And for a period of time, there was actually a bit of a recession immediately following the war, as all these companies that were geared up to build all of this military machinery didn't have any orders. Then came the Cold War. Then came the never-ending building up of weapons, and then NATO was born in 1948. And suddenly, as we enter the 1950s, the military-industrial complex is now back in business, building long-range aircraft, missiles, submarines, nuclear-powered submarines. The world was investing in war, even though we were not necessarily in a war. Korea was called a police action, and it never has been resolved. It's nothing but a 70-some-odd-year-old ceasefire. That's all that's going on there. 70-some-odd years, a ceasefire. The war never ended. Matter of fact, as I've mentioned before, if you're intellectually honest, the United States has not won a war since World War II, almost 80 years ago. So here we are today. Military-industrial complex. They keep wanting wars and skirmishes to use their weapons, so we have to buy new. We have all these organizations like NATO that need to prove they have a reason to exist. We have the CIA, the most distrustworthy, most un-American, most evil agency on the face of the planet, pretending they're the white-hatted good guys, and they're not. I believe the CIA got us involved in war after war after war, failure after failure after failure, coup after coup after coup, including Ukraine. By the way, 2014, there was a stable government in Ukraine, and people were very content. And our CIA orchestrated a coup to upset that balance of power and put Ukraine in the mess that they are today, all at the behest of the military-industrial complex, the globalists, the money brokers, the money power brokers, Our CIA is not working for the American people. It's working only for the globalist. And I really believe that Kennedy got in the way. Trump got in the way. Others in the past have gotten in the way around the world, and they're no longer with us. And so I look at this past week. I look at what happened this past Sunday. Joe Biden was the perfect patsy, the perfect fool, the perfect idiot, the perfect useful idiot for globalist causes. He did more to destroy the United States of America than any other president in my lifetime that I can envision. I mean, seriously. And they lie, and Joe Biden was perfect for the job because he's nothing but a liar, always has been, since when he ran for the Senate in 1972, and when he ran for president in the 1980s, lie after lie after lie. I've got 3 degrees. I was the top of my class. All of it a lie. I'm the poorest guy in the United States Senate. How did you acquire all these mega millions in wealth on a senator's salary? You didn't do it honestly. I'll give Harry Truman credit. Show me a rich politician and I'll show you a crook. And Truman was right. But Truman also was believing the generals and the powers that be that was pushing for the vast military-industrial complex, the domino theory, and everything else that went with it. The Iron Curtain, the bamboo curtain. We're the ones that set things up to be what they are. Sadly, that is the truth. And so Biden exits the stage. Like I say, I'm recording this program and I'm almost afraid to say anything because so many things can dramatically change. Now, I do want to take you, like I say, I mentioned earlier in the year, I predicted that Biden would exit. I didn't know if it would be April, May, or June, but it would have to be at least a month or so before the convention. Well, he did. Would he resign the presidency? As I'm recording this, he's still there. Will he or has he? I don't know. That's up to the power brokers behind the scenes. Did he really come down with COVID? Anybody's guess. I wouldn't put it past the CIA to give him something that looked like COVID. That's how distrusting I am of my own government, and I hate that I have to be this way. But if you're intellectually honest, look how they lied to us during the pandemic. This is the reason we even started this radio program on day one, because there were a bunch of filthy liars in the government, including the NIH, Dr. Fauci et al., that lied to the American people to bring on a coup to influence the globe, global finances, and an American election. There's no doubt in my mind, had there not been all these mail-in ballots, there was no way that Biden could have ever won an honest and fair election. And I have to wonder what the next pandemic or excuse is going to be that they're going to try. I'll say this much. They're trying to get people to believe in, well, for a while, monkeypox, and now it's going to be bird flu. And people just ain't buying it. Even here in South Florida, only a handful of people are wearing face diapers. A fear of the Rona or some other nonsensical virus that a face diaper doesn't even stop. It's more of a, either I have been so beaten up by the establishment, I'm mentally deficient and I have to wear one. Or you have been so beaten up, you know, that your mind has been injured. Or you're just doing it for politics. It's up to you. But there's no scientific basis at all. Zero. None. Nada. That a face diaper stops a virus. Never has. Never will. Never did. And they knew it when they were telling you to wear one. And Fauci, we're 2 or 3. Yeah, if you want to increase bacteria in your mouth and your face, increase the CO2 level in your bloodstream, yeah, that works really good. But a virus, they learned in Europe that faithful mask wearers were 2 or 3% more likely to come down with COVID than people that didn't wear a mask. So it doesn't work. It changed virtually nothing. but people were led to believe a lie. And so now here we are in a very different world than the world that I was living in just the other day. And I'm looking at some news stories that I really believe, honestly, that the cheat is already on. Elites installing Kamala Harris, and I know that some do not want her. I'm sure as we get to the convention, it's going to get ugly in August. There's no doubt in my mind about it. But what happens between now and November here in the United States, it's an eternity in politics. I worry for my nation. I believe what happens this fall will set the trajectory for many, many, many years to come, and it doesn't look good. Even if Donald Trump wins here in the United States, do I have hope that our nation can be repaired? My answer is absolutely not. I don't ever see our nation being repaired. I see maybe a time of respite, a time of adjustment, but the overall trajectory is still 8 steps toward evil and maybe 3 or 4 back. But overall, we're still heading to be an increasingly evil nation. I was looking, and I'm going to get away from, I mean, everybody knows what's going on politically, and I'm just telling you what I know and what I think, and I'm doing it well in advance so things can change. But, oh, by the way, you remember right after the debate, I did a program the Monday after the debate, and I said then, you are witnessing the controlled demolition of Joe Biden to keep him from running for president. And I made the statement on that Monday that the American people have roughly a 3-week attention span before news becomes burdensome and they want to move on to some new, catchier headline. Well, it was just a little over 3 weekends, so yeah, 3 weekends went by, and he decided to pull the plug. Everybody talked it up from the 27th of June, and then when we got into July, and you had the July 4th holiday, and then it started getting louder and louder, and people were like, okay, are we going to do this or not? Are we really going to do this or not? Are we really going to move on or not? Hey, come on, we got to make our mind up here. We're getting bored. And I don't know what it took to push that decision. And I think of the idiotic mainstream media, Joe Scarborough comes to mind. It wasn't that many months ago. This is the best Biden there ever was. If that's true, then the Biden of 1972 must have really been pathetic. Or the 1980s or 90s. It must have been a really bad Biden. If Joe Scarborough was there defending him. The best Biden ever. And now he knows he has to go. Yeah, Joe Scarborough's program is so intellectually, morally, spiritually, and politically bankrupt that even mind syphilis NBC had to pull him off the air on the Monday after the assassination attempt, not knowing what kind of landmines that would happen on that program that morning. And, you know, Scarborough said, you know, have you ever do that again? Well, I'll quit. You can get somebody else. Well, I got news for you, Scarborough. You and your 5 viewers, we don't care. I don't care. You have more people watching clips of you on Fox News and Newsmax than you do on MSNBC. And I'm sick and tired of these conservative networks airing garbage from The View, garbage from Scarborough, garbage from any of these people. I don't want to watch them. They're all sick and evil individuals. I already know what they stand for. I don't need to be reminded of how pathetic they are. And then I see a lot of this same neo-paganism evil getting into the so-called church world. And boy, that's an eye-opener too. You have to wonder I'm just going to say this on the politics. You have to wonder what's going to happen going forward with Biden out of the picture. Will it be Kamala? Will it be somebody else? You already have the same people, Ooh, Hillary's back in the mix. Ooh, it's going to be Michelle. Ooh, it's Gavin Newsom, and on it goes. It's going to be fascinating to watch. And if they can pull off a steal this election, then I know America is done. It's over, and just be prepared for the worst yet to come. I hate to be so pessimistic, but I really don't have enough reason not to be.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
There are a couple of other things that I want to share with you on today's program. As I said, my wife and I have been traveling. We ended up needing to spend an extra week in Florida. We actually head back to our Virginia base on Monday, and we get back in late Tuesday. Then on Thursday, I've got immunotherapy, which will be taking all day for my bladder cancer. So this coming week, travel, barely any rest. We're going to do the best we can to get the programs out to you. And hopefully the week after, once we get into the second week of August, I promise I will do a better job as best as I can to be more timely with the radio programs and not having to record two or three so far in advance to make the schedule. I will say that in the almost 4 years now that we've been doing Truth to Ponder, hard to believe that end of August we will wrap up 4 years and enter our fifth year. And we're only on the radio because of so many of you praying for us and even supporting us financially. But I want to share with you a couple of thoughts here. Over the past couple of weeks, and even while I was traveling here in Florida, I was talking to some other people in media, people that do podcast, radio programs. Some are political, some are Christian-oriented in nature. Mine tends to be a little bit of both. And they called me up. I didn't call them. And they were asking questions. Bob, as you're giving down, have our programs run their course? Is it even worth doing any of this anymore? And I said, that's a good question there, because I'm experiencing the same thing. There's still a number of people listening as a podcast. There's still many of you that let me know that you listen faithfully on the radio. I know that I probably hurt the program a little bit by having to reduce it to a half hour here in the United States. I mean, I just, because of my health, because of other requirements with a church, it was becoming too much to do the kind of job that I want to do in producing the program. And even on the road, it's a lot harder because I don't have all the library of materials that I would normally have when working out of my home office in Virginia. And so we're kind of on a scant system here. And so I know that we've got to get through this election in this year. But I want to decide after the election, what is the future of Truth to Ponder? I believe we're going to have a time of, there's a good chance that we may have a little bit of a reprieve for a while before things get really bad. And I need to decide where my focus needs to be. And it really depends on you. If listenership is down, if income is down, then I may need to focus my efforts elsewhere. And that's true with many people that are doing programs that I've talked to. I know one that had to cut back, a Christian program, a great one. I won't mention it, but they've had to cut back on the number of stations and hours they're on. And then those that do a pretty good job on politics and understanding the geopolitical system, they're worrying about their future as well. And so I need to decide if I continue to do this, in what mode. Maybe it'll go back to an hour again when things settle down, if my health allows. But there are a lot of variables in that. And I would love to stay on shortwave, but it's increasingly expensive. But I want to thank all of you that have been faithful supporters. You can let me know that you listen by visiting our website, truth2ponder.com. truth, the number 2, ponder.com. You can email me. I'm the only one that sees the emails. Or you can just go bob@truth2ponder.com. That'll come right to me. You can use Give, Send, Go from the website to support us as well. We're going to be here. We're going to get through the election. We're going to get through the end of this year. But it's really up to you how we go beyond that point. And a lot of it really depends on what happens in the election. If there's a great steal and cheat, again, we're over as a nation. We're done. We're toast. We need to just get into our churches and seek the face of God. But if you can still keep us going between now and then, you can also make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. That's Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, Virginia 24319. Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, Virginia. Zip code 24319. That zip code again, 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth, the number 2, and the word ponder.com. That's truth, the number 2, ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.